Today on the My Name is Stupid Says podcast, I am going to be discussing if microphone reach is a real thing, the reality of editing podcasts and videos, and other stuff too. So go ahead and stick around if that seems interesting to you. If it doesn't, just move on with your life. Let's start with the topic of why I'm calling this the My Name is Stupid Says podcast, and it should be pretty obvious. Number one, I am stupid. Number two, because I am stupid, I said something incorrect. In last week's episode, I was discussing the justification for the tests I do in my microphone reviews, and when I was discussing the distance test, I said this. Then at 1 foot, 2 feet, and 4 feet, it's good to understand the reach of the microphone because you as a boom operator, Alan, know this better than anybody. Different microphones have different sensitivities at different distances. They're less or more sensitive at 1 foot, 2 foot, and 4 foot. So having that demo allows people to understand if their mom's talking to them 4 feet away, yelling at them, "Get off the gaming, Jimmy! Go ahead and clean your room!" Is it going to pick that up really clearly, or is it going to be less prominent because the microphone has a quick drop-off? Current podcasting Bandrew here, and I had to lower my glasses to do this, but, well, actually, that could not be more incorrect. Different microphones, regardless of the mic type, whether it be a shotgun, a condenser, I know shotguns are condensers, dynamics, or ribbons, they do not have different drop-offs as you get further off. That doesn't exist, and I got called out on it. I got a commenter saying, "Hey, inverse square law, bruh." And yeah, that's correct. I also got a DM from Pags from MEI Studio saying, "Hey, wrong." Wrong. So instead of just taking their words for it, I figured, let's do some tests. Because every single time I have just taken things for what they are, I've heard stuff and just said, okay, every single time I do that, I look stupider than I really am. So instead of just taking their word for it, let's do some tests. All right, for those watching, I have an unflattering angle setup as well as three different microphones, a large diaphragm condenser, a large diaphragm dynamic, and a shotgun microphone, U87, SM7B, MKH416. I want to find out if the idea of reach is in fact BS or if it holds any kind of validity. If it is accurate at all. All the mics are running into the Universal Audio X8. The U87 has 34 dB of gain, SM7B at 65 dB, and the MKH416 at 36 decibels. I've level matched them as close as I possibly can, and I'll make minor adjustments in post, but let's go ahead and see if this holds any water or if it is nonsense. We'll start 6 inches away from the microphone's capsules, which I've lined up as closely as I can. This is the U87 6 inches away, this is the SM7B 6 inches away, and this is the MKH416 6 inches away. Here is how they sound. Do they sound the same level? They should, because I level match them. Now I am 1 foot away from the microphone, so this is 12 inches from the U87 capsule, 12 inches from the SM7B capsule, and 12 inches from the MKH416 capsule. Do you hear any difference in sound between the U87, between the SM7B at this distance, or any difference between the MKH416? Let's back up and do some more. Now I'm 2 feet away from the microphone, so this is 24 inches from the U87. This is the U87 at 2 feet. This is the SM7B at 2 feet, 2 feet from the SM7B, and 2 feet from the MKH416. What kind of difference do you hear? Again, U87, this is the U87. Here is the SM7B, the SM7 Bizzle, and then we have the MKH Hizzle 416. I hate myself. Let's back up. And now I'm about 4 feet away from the microphones, and looking at my meters, they do look pretty similar, but here is 4 feet away from the U87. here is 4 feet away from the Shure SM7B, and here is 4 feet away from the MKH416. Again, here is the U87, 4 feet away. Here is the SM7B, 4 feet away. And lastly, we have the MKH416, 4 feet away. Looking at my meters, it looks like they will have a similar level of the spoken word, but if I be quiet, it looks like the 87 is picking up the most noise, the SM7B the second most, and the MKH416 the least. I'm also assuming you're going to hear the most room tone and reverb on the 87, second most on the SM7B, and least on the MKH416. There you go. Those are the tests. Let's listen back and come up with a conclusion. Am I dumb? Answer, most certainly. All right, those are the tests. Let me know what you heard if you want to in the comments on YouTube. What I noticed is, as far as reverb, the U87 did the worst, the SM7B did the second worst, the MKH416 did the best. As far as room noise, the U87 did the worst, but it also seems to pick up the most low-end rumble, so the frequency response is coming into play there. The SM7B was the second worst, but 4 feet away, 65 decibels of gain on the preamp. The preamp noise kind of overwhelmed everything at that point, so the point there is kind of moot. If you're using an SM7B 4 feet away, what are you doing? Seek God. God will help you through this. And the MKH416 did the best. So my conclusion is, there is no magical reach. Dynamics do not drop off in sensitivity faster than condensers, shotguns, ribbons. The correct interpretation of reach, as I am now understanding it, is certain microphones, because of the polar pattern and the frequency response, are going to reject more reverb and room noise, and in turn, it is going to allow you to more effectively use those microphones at a distance. But none of these microphones are magic. None of them make physics cease to exist. So on axis, they're going to have the same sensitivity drop-off as you get further away from them. As far as the off-axis rejection and the rejection of noises from other rooms, that does seem to differ from microphone to microphone, but it's going to come down to the polar pattern and frequency response, so I still think that is useful information. But as far as the distance test, maybe that doesn't offer any value to anybody, so maybe I should just stop it. Let me know, should I just stop doing that? Because does that offer any value? The entire purpose I was doing it is just wrong. So let me know what you think. And that is why this is the My Name Is Stupid Says podcast. Thank you very much for calling me out. I don't want to say I am happy to be wrong. I don't even want to say that I am happy to admit that I am wrong, because I hate being wrong, because when I put out incorrect information, that makes me feel bad because I have misled people. But I am willing to admit that I am wrong when I am wrong. So if I ever put out information that is inaccurate, do not hesitate to well actually me and call me out on my BS. Tell me how I could do a test to prove me wrong, and I will do it, and we will move on, and we will all be better informed, and I will pass it on, and I will say, please, sir, may I have another, because my name is Kevin Bacon. You understand why this is the My Name Is Stupid Says podcast. Let's go to the next topic, the reality of editing, the neuroticism of editing. In last week's episode, when I published the video, there was an editing mistake in that, and I have egg on my face. I found it quite embarrassing, and I will include that error right here so you can see what I'm talking about. It was about 29 minutes in. If you enjoy this show without ads, if you enjoy this not being behind a paywall, it is by the support... not being behind a paywall, not being behind a paywall. It is all thanks to the support of amazing. I have to admit that when I was reviewing the episode after it went live, I was incredibly embarrassed that this made it in, but I have left it in because I think it's a learning moment. And if that is the most embarrassing thing that has happened over the last week, I'd say I'm doing pretty good. If that's the worst thing that happened, so be it. But like I said, I think we can learn from it. And the first thing we can learn is how incredibly neurotic I am. Or maybe the more fair way to put it would be how much of a perfectionist I try to be, because I did not need to stop. I did not need to retake that and try to say things more clearly. It was abundantly clear what I was trying to say. In the first take, I stumbled and said, "It is by the support." Then I tried to take it again. I stumbled. I didn't get there. And then on the third attempt, I finally got there. See, in the last week's episode, I would try to retake this about 5 times because I keep screwing up. We're not going to this week, even though I've already done this type of editing about 15 times. But the reason I am calling it neurotic is it would have been fine without that correction. Or I could have said, "This is made possible by the support of these individuals." But no, I wanted to come off more professional and more eloquent than I actually am. I am the Joe Biden of podcasting. I cannot speak, and through the power of editing, I look good and sound good. Just don't make me go on stage. Do not make me debate anybody, because that would be horrible. Am I a zombie? Am I Joe Biden? I don't know. But instead of... somebody's going to get pissed about that. I don't care. Get upset. Our president is brain dead. Instead of... I really should edit that out. Instead of just accepting it for what it was, I chose to retake it. Something else I want to point out, because if anybody watches that, if anybody were in the same room with me while I'm recording, they would think I'm insane because I will say the same sentence 15 times trying to get into the next topic. The reason I do that, I said, what did I say in this clip? I completely forgot. It's not behind a paywall. I kept saying that. The reason I was saying that is to try to get the intonation or try to get the inflection correct, because it's very easy to record two sentences, but making sure they flow into each other is very difficult. So I was saying the last sentence that I said correct and then trying to flow into the next thought. So that is why I did that. And if you do this type of editing, I think that's a really good practice. You may come across like an absolutely insane person. You may come across ridiculous. I do, which is why I found it embarrassing that made it into the episode. But that is the reality of the editing. Most of the time, it is truly unnecessary. I understand the appeal of podcasting is the authenticity, the imperfections, the personality. Everything in a podcast does not need to be perfect. This isn't a final film. This isn't something that is going out that needs to be a polished turd. It needs to be you. It needs to be authentic. So I understand the editing is unnecessary. Having those flaws is good. But I like presenting information as clearly and concisely as possible. So I think being a bit more edited, or editing a bit more heavily, rather, is fine. I'm not taking out my personality. I still leave in a lot of who I am. I leave in a lot of the ridiculousness. But I like being concise. I like speaking clearly. I like not having a bunch of flubs in there. So that is why I do it. I just wanted to bring that up because it made me question, why do I do these edits? It looks ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It is unnecessary. But it makes me happier with the final product. And by editing out a lot of the mess ups that I do, I think it saves people time. So I think it's worth it. That is it for the ranty stuff. Let's jump to what I've been testing. I am on the SE Electronics X1A. Let me reach back here and grab it. It is a large di- Is this a large diaphragm? I don't know. It's a studio condenser microphone, $100 dues, and it seems like it's been a while since I have reviewed a $100 condenser microphone. So I recently picked this up, bought it with my own money, and I thought I'd put it through its paces and see how it sounds, because the only $100-ish condensers that seem to still be out there are the AT2020, sometimes the Lewitt LCT240. And is that it? Because the King Bee went up to 180. The Rode NT1 Signature is 160. So around $100. Maybe some MXL mics. There just aren't that many from really reputable and established microphone brands. So I thought it's about time I review this, because I don't think I've done this before. Won't I have egg on my face again if it turns out I do? I already reviewed it. I think I did the X1S a couple of years ago. So that's what I've been testing. That is what you have been listening to. Let us jump to what you had to say. And the first comment comes from Daily Riot. They say, why don't you want to use X? You don't like the truth? Or maybe you... I'm not going to read the rest of that. Daily Riot, thank you very much for the comment, because your comment has allowed me to get on my soapbox and go on an annoying rant. I am sick and tired of how everything online has become so polarized, how politicized it has become, and how combative everything is. Every single decision and every single statement that's made seems to be viewed through this lens of, are you on my team? Are you not on my team? And it is insanely tiring. I explained this to Daily Riot in a response. The reason I don't want to use X has nothing to do with the type of posts that are on there, the owner of it. I could not care less about these companies. The reason I don't want to use X or Twitter is the exact same reason I don't want to use Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Whoozy Whatsies, or whatever else is. It's because I find the vast majority of these social media platforms to be insane time wasters. I can much more effectively spend my time. I have limited time as it is. I work a full-time job. I run multiple YouTube channels. I'm trying to develop a social life. I don't have time to sit there and scroll on these time wasters where everything is a battle. So it doesn't have to do with, oh, you can't handle the truth. This isn't whatever that movie is that I can't remember right now. I want to believe the truth is out there. I'm all for it. The more conspiracies, the better. I have a tinfoil hat on my light. I am a prime candidate to like Twitter, to like X. The more tinfoil, the better, dude. But I am just sick and tired of it. I think that something needs to change, where we need to go back to a place where there's less division and less combativeness. Not everything needs to be a challenge. Not everything is a slight against individuals or a slight against your political leaning or your religious leaning. Sometimes people just have opinions. They have worldviews that have absolutely nothing to do with you. And that's something that's important to remember. The world doesn't revolve around you. The world doesn't revolve around me. And every other person's opinion, every other person's decisions on how to run their life, on what is right for them, has zero impact on me, or I have zero impact on them. I don't want to say it has zero impact on me, because it may. Their decision may be, oh yeah, we're going to go rob Andrew. That decision would have a direct impact on me, and I am going to be very combative about it. But I think you get the point. A lot of just opinions that don't need to be politicized, that don't need to be so combative, seem to have become that because every post online seems to be a chance for somebody to dunk on somebody. Oh, you got dunked on, bro. Beta male, man. I'm red-pilled and based. Come on, get with it. I guess that's all I have to say. Let's go to the next comment from Kabuki Starship. They say, I'm confused why there's not a dedicated corrections box. You should be able to clip out and insert clips into a video without losing all your likes, so long as the content is higher quality, of course. Kabuki Starship, thank you very much for the comment. This feature does already exist, but it is for a very select few. It is for the super massive channels. I believe that Linus Tech Tips has used this in the past. I see a very specific reason why this isn't a thing, though. It would just be very easy to abuse, and the ability to monitor the edited content to ensure it's a similar quality or an improvement and it's not changing the context or meaning of the video, I don't know how they would do that. It would have to be some kind of AI thing, and I would not trust AI to do that. I would not trust an algorithm to do that. If you have been on YouTube for any amount of time, you would not trust YouTube's algorithms or automated systems to do any kind of moderation or determining if content matches. So although I wish this was available, because I would use it heavily to correct myself, take out incorrect information, and replace it, I understand why it's not there. Like I said, it would just be abused way too easily. You could upload a video saying one thing and then get a bunch of comments saying, hey, this is a great video. I agree with every point. Then edit out the body of the video and then replace it with some horrific speech from a dictator. And then that commenter looks insane. And you could easily just say, why did you comment this on this video? This doesn't make any sense. And then get them into hot water with their employer, get them canceled online or whatever. So I would love this feature. It would be really helpful for me. It would be really helpful for a lot of educational content, a lot of educational channels. But I don't see YouTube being able to moderate this appropriately, which is why it seems to only be available for a handful of channels like Linus Tech Tips, because I think they probably have a team of people at YouTube, or at least a dedicated person at YouTube watching everything they do. But for all us lowly scrubs on YouTube, they don't care about us. Maybe they do. They don't have the resources to dedicate an individual person to watch every video uploaded, because what is it? There's 500 hours uploaded every minute? That's an impossibility. I would love it, but I think the corrections pop-up is as good as it's going to get, at least for now, until AI actually gets good. Not there yet. Thank you very much, Kabuki Starship. Next, we have a comment from The Road to Health. They say, hi, Bandrew. I was wondering if you still get YouTube Premium with ads turned off. Road to Health, thank you very much for the comment and the question. I had to look into this because last August, I stopped putting ads on my new podcast episodes, but I was under the impression that I was still getting YouTube Premium revenue sharing. I thought every single time a YouTube Premium viewer watched one of my videos, I would get revenue. Turns out I was wrong. I looked at the analytics for last week's video, and up on screen, here is what I saw. The only source of revenue was Super Thanks. So I went to a few more episodes. I checked the monetization stats there. The only monetization was Super Thanks. So I went to Twitter. I tweeted at YouTube Liaison. I tweeted at YouTube Creator or whatever. They said, hey, go chat with Google Support. So I chatted with Google Support. Yep. You do not get YouTube Premium without advertising being turned on. That seems ridiculous. Because the YouTube Premium viewer is still watching your content. There weren't any ads before. there aren't any ads now for them. So you should still be getting a portion of that revenue share. But if you do not have watch page ads engaged, if you don't have the monetization turned on, you do not get revenue. You do not get that YouTube Premium revenue. So very good question. Thank you for asking it because I had no idea. And I will put a link to a Google support answer there. And it says, I'll go ahead and open this up and read it to you and get a screenshot. Will creators still be paid with YouTube Premium? Yes. In fact, YouTube Premium gives a secondary revenue stream for creators in addition to what you're already earning today through ads. To earn YouTube Premium revenue for long-form videos, accept the Watch Page monetization module and turn on Watch Page ads. Shorts. Accept the Shorts feed monetization module. So there you have it, right from the horse's mouth. You do not get YouTube Premium revenue sharing unless you have watch page ads turned on. And that seems ridiculous to me. I haven't heard back from Renee Ritchie, YouTube liaison, and the YouTube creators page. They weren't very helpful at all. They just sent me a link to chat. So we'll see what liaison says. And I should submit feedback to YouTube because that seems incorrect. That seems wrong. YouTube Premium members pay for YouTube Premium, and the revenue that is gathered from that subscription, it is divvied up amongst the channels that they watch, amongst the videos that they watch. The fact that a video they're watching has chosen to leave ads off should not omit or make it so they do not receive a share of that revenue. That seems silly. That seems incorrect. Seems like an improper way to run things. Maybe I'm wrong, though. I don't know. I'll send feedback to Google. And if I hear anything interesting from Renee Ritchie, I will report back. Thank you for asking that question because good to know. If you want premium revenue sharing, force people to watch ads. Next, we have value for value because this is a V for V podcast. What that means is I do not put ads on this show. I do not receive YouTube Premium revenue sharing. I do not put it behind a paywall. I just shove it up there. And if you get value out of it, you put a dollar value on that and send it back if you want. If you don't, enjoy the ad-free viewing because we have amazing supporters. First up, we have TechMed Reina Richter. He says, Danke, first things first. This was a very entertaining and educational podcast video again. Your pronunciation of my name, including my surname, has become overwhelmingly perfect and probably better than doing it myself. Minute 31, our brains seem to function in a similar way. When creating my post, including this new version of your name, Barbara Randrew, this old song cover of the Beach Boys came into my mind. By the way, the entire text was generated by MOB-AI, my own brain-AI. I hope everything is going well for you. Greeting from Constanz at the Bodensee, my current workplace. Oh, and that was 50 euros, and that was from two episodes ago. I just missed it before I recorded last week's episode. Reina, thank you so much for the 50 euro. I really do appreciate it, and I am thrilled that I am the epitome of pronouncing your name correctly. Thank you so much for the support. Really does mean the world to me. Next, we have 20 USD from Paul H. He says, sorry for the 1999. Not trying to skimp on the other penny, but if there's a way to turn off the use tacky clearance bin pricing conventions for a super thanks setting, I haven't found it. Maybe it's an iOS thing? In any case, thank you and happy 4th. Paul, thank you very much for the $19.99. What gives? Where's that last penny? That really is an iOS thing because I noticed the exact same thing. If I give a super thanks on the computer, I can make it an even dollar amount. And if I remember correctly, I think you can enter any amount that you want. But on iOS, they give you a couple of options. It's $4.99, $9.99, $24.99, $19.99, but doesn't give you the round dollars. But I truly do appreciate it. And if we ever find, as I pop the microphone, good to know, if we ever find a workaround, I will share it with the world because it's very strange. It must be some kind of fee thing. On iOS, they must charge you more if it's a round number. I don't know. Does $20 mean that you're charged a higher percentage or something? Any iOS experts out there in terms of the monetary side of things? I'm not sure. Thank you very much, Paul. And lastly, we have another 50 euro from TechMed. Rainer Richter! That almost sounded like some kind of football announcer. He says, Danke. Rainer, thank you so much for the 50 euro. This was on last week's episode. And like I said, I really, truly appreciate your support. Means the world to me, and I'm glad you're working in a beautiful location again. It's great to hear from you, just globetrotting, or I guess not globetrotting, but going around your country and just seeing these different places and working in these beautiful locations. I hope you get to enjoy some time off and listen to some music, enjoy the scenery, enjoy the cities you're in, and I appreciate you. Now we are jumping to the Ask Bandrew segment, my favorite part of the show. Welcome to the Ask Bandrew segment. It is dusty in here. It has been a while. If you want to send in a question, go to askbandrew.com, askbandrew.com, askbandrew.com. There are instructions. No, there aren't instructions anymore. I closed my old podcasting site and moved everything over to Geeks Rising. I don't have those instructions anymore. I just have the SpeakPipe thing. I need to update that. But BandrewSays.com, AskBandrew.com, all those URLs work now. I got some comments. Hey, what's going on? The URLs aren't working. That was my bad. There was a shift in my domain ownership. Pain in the rear end, but we got it resolved. Everything's fixed. Everything's up and running. We have one video submission from Kevin. Kevin, take it away, good sir.
Hi, Bandrew. I'm Kevin, and I'm sending this video from the UK. I have three mics and would appreciate your help in deciding which one I should keep for spoken word. The problem I have is I struggle to hear microphone differences, and I also suspect the value of each microphone, despite being purchased secondhand, biases my view of them. The three microphones are connected through a Blackmagic Design ATEM microconverter to an ATEM switcher that does the recording. I then use DaVinci Resolve for editing, however the only audio processing I do is to pass it through Orphonic. I've obviously been displaying which microphone is being used as I've gone on. Which one do you think I should keep?
I'm going to pause right there before Kevin discloses what microphone is what, and I am going to share my thoughts. Before I share my thoughts or before the disclosure is made, let me know in the comments or let Kevin know in the comments, what are your thoughts on mic 1, mic 2, mic 3? Which one do you like the tone of? Which one do you think rejects the most noise? Which one do you think is the best fit for him? What I heard, I liked the tone of microphone 2 because it wasn't overly bassy and it was nice and clear in the top end, but I thought it picked up a bit too much of the room, a bit too much reverb. Then we have microphone 1. I thought the top end was really nice. It's a smoother top end, but it is still clear. It has a bit more bass, but it's not overdone, and it rejected more of the room than microphone 2. And then on microphone 3, I thought it just had a bit too much bass on his voice. Could easily throw on a high pass filter. I know the one that is, it has a high pass filter on it. That would probably help out, or do a little bit of EQ in post. But if I had to pick, it would be microphone 1. That's my personal favorites in terms of the rejection of the reverb mixed with the tone. So a culmination of all the characteristics of the mic landed me on microphone one. But if microphone two picked up less room noise or room tone or reverb, I think that would be my pick because I think the tone of that mic is slightly more flattering, just a little bit clearer up top, not as much bass in the low end, but because of the room, I'm going mic one. And now I'm going to play the reveal.
Microphone one was the Neumann U87AI. The second was the Neumann BCM104. And microphone three, the Austrian Audio OC18. As always, please keep up the fantastic work. You really are appreciated. Bye.
There you have it. Microphone one was the Neumann. Hello, Neumann. U87. Microphone two was the Neumann. Hello, Neumann. BCM105. Microphone three was the Austrian Audio. Hello, Austrian Audio. OC818. What did you think of those? Which one did you like the best? Let Kevin know in the comments. And Kevin, thank you very much for sending that in. I love getting video submissions, love hearing from you, especially love hearing you on the microphones that you record on, because that gives everybody a break from hearing me talk, and we get to hear how you sound on your gear, which is always a blast for all of us. So thank you very much, Kevin. Really do appreciate you. And to wrap up the episode, I unfortunately do not have a weekly recommendation algorithm, because I have been working too hard and haven't been able to enjoy anything. Well, I have been enjoying working hard, but I haven't been able to consume any media or anything to recommend. My weekly recommendation is go out there and work hard. The joy can be found in a hard day's work. How about that? And the reason I have been working so hard is I am going to be out of town for a little bit. On the 21st of July, 2024, cue the lights, cue the music, dun, 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 dun. I am going to be at B&H Photo as part of the Creator Roundtable with Tom Buck and Luria Petrucci. We are going to be discussing podcasting 101. It's going to cover the gear that you need, what you need to do in terms of preparation, what you need to do in terms of promotion, all that stuff. It is going to be so much fun. I'll throw a link in the episode notes and description. You could attend in person, or you could register online and catch the live stream. Either of them works. This is the first event I have ever done. I have had offers in the past, and I've always turned them down. Been like, yeah, I don't really, no thanks. I don't feel like going. No thanks. I'm just going to hang out at home. But when I heard Tom Buck was going to be in it, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go. And it's a B&H, so I'll just go hide in their microphone room for a few hours and just play with all their gear. That'll be a ton of fun. So that's going to be interesting. It's going to be difficult to get there and difficult to get back because my airport sucks a big bag of whatevers. Zero direct flights anywhere. And you got to leave at crazy hours if you don't want a 5-hour flight to turn into 13 hours because of layovers. So it's going to be fun. I'm losing a couple of days, but come out. It is going to be a fun one. And it would be great to see you. First live event I have ever done for podcastage. So come by. I love you. That is going to wrap up this week's episode. I hope you have an amazing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Next Sunday, I will be back. I will be talking at you. No, maybe next Sunday, I may not be back. I probably won't be back. And then the following Sunday, I doubt I'll be back as well. So maybe I'll see you in 3 weeks, or maybe I'll record some kind of travel vlog, and that'll be a podcast episode. Who knows? Or maybe that'll be for podcastage. The world is my oyster, and you own the world, or whatever Scarface said. I don't know. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I love you. Thank you for spending... I need to stop popping the microphone! I know you... I know you could spend your time doing anything, but the fact that you choose to spend your time watching this podcast or listening to this podcast really does mean the world to me. So thank you so much. I'll talk to you on a later date. Bye-bye. Whoa, whoa, boop.
This has been a Geeks Rising production. Your executive producer is Bandrew Scott. For more information, head over to www.geeksrising.com.